You've tried it all. You've written all your content from scratch, bought tons of templates, and even used ChatGPT. But month after month, your content feels sporadic, inconsistent, and lacks the conversions you're hoping for. There's good news. I have a spot open for retainer copywriting services. With a retainer, I'll write, plan, and strategize your content every single month. From weekly emails to long-form content to quarterly launches, this is your chance to ditch content overwhelm and pass off copywriting for good. If you're interested, head to the show notes or submit an inquiry at therelevantcollective.com.
Launching can easily lead to analysis paralysis, whether it's your first or your 41st launch. In this episode, I'm breaking down three simple tips to lead to less overwhelm when it comes to launching your offer. We're talking about the importance of mindset, keeping it all organized, and planning your content. These tips will keep you from flying off the deep end when it feels like you're losing your marbles during your launch. Being an online business owner is full of ups and downs. Some days you can't imagine going back to your 9-to-5, and other days you want to burn your whole business to the ground. We get it.
Welcome to Chaos to Conversions, a podcast of practical, no BS strategies to grow your online business. Each week, we're chatting about launching, copywriting, mindset, and more, so you can make sense of the chaos and do more of what works.
Join the conversation and let's grow together. Hey everyone, welcome back to Chaos to Conversions. Today, we are going to be talking all about skipping the overwhelm when it comes to launching your product, membership, offer, course. I want to clarify before we get started that when we're talking about launching, it doesn't have to be this big, huge, giant with webinars and free challenges. I'm just simply talking about, even if you're putting a new product out to your email list that they haven't seen before, that is still considered a launch. So these tips can help you with anything from your 7-day free challenge launch to simply putting out a brand new digital product that your audience hasn't seen before and everything in between. So the first thing that we want to make sure that we're doing is getting our mindset right when it comes to launching and also setting realistic expectations. And if you want to get yourself a little post-it so you can write down some of these mantras, this is going to get a little woo-woo for a second, but not too much, I promise. These could be some things that help you to focus your mindset and also set realistic expectations. So the first thing I want you to remember is, if somebody else has done it before, it is possible for you too. Yes, that means if somebody else has had a $100,000 launch, it is possible for you too. Somebody else has done it, so therefore, you can also do it. And one of the things that we want to make sure that we are really focusing on is our growth versus our fixed mindset. And if you're not sure what that means, I'll explain it here for just a second. A growth mindset means that you can learn new things. You believe that you are capable of learning, you know, new things, versus that if you have more of a fixed mindset, you kind of believe that whatever talents you have are innate talents, and that's just like what you got. And you might say, for example, oh, well, I've never been very good at writing copy, so there's no way that I can write my own emails. Whereas if you have more of a growth mindset, you say things to yourself like, well, if I do enough research into my audience and maybe practice and get the help or an audit from a copywriter, yeah, I can make my copy better and learn to write some of my own emails. So we want to make sure that we're leaning into more of a growth mindset than a fixed mindset. The other sort of mindset shift I want you to start thinking about is a scarcity versus abundance mindset. And this is one I see a lot as a launch strategist helping clients. And a lot of times people, and it's natural, it's human nature, it's nothing to feel bad about, but a lot of times people will come in with a scarcity mindset. And a lot of that is based in competition. So thinking like, oh, so-and-so already has a course on this, everybody's going to buy their course, so nobody will buy mine. So a scarcity mindset is this idea that there's just not enough to go around. So if somebody else is successful in their launch, or if somebody else is having a great course launch or even a product launch, for example, it means that there are less sales and less students that will eventually buy your course. So we want to try and shift towards more of that abundance mindset, meaning that there's enough for everyone and the right people will find me, and there's always new customers to be found. And, you know, just because somebody buys someone else's course or product doesn't mean that they would not also buy yours. So just starting to talk to yourself in that way can be really powerful, even if it doesn't feel like it at first, because the way that we think inside of our heads will eventually, and the things you tell yourself will eventually become words that we say to ourselves, to our contractors, if you work on a team, and then these words become your actions and kind of get you stuck where you are in your business. So even just these two little shifts about shifting more towards a growth and an abundance mindset can be really, really powerful. We also need to remember that every single launch is a learning experience, and absolutely no launch, really nothing at all in business, can be a failure as long as you learn something from it and know what to do for next time and also what not to do for next time. So besides just getting our mindset right as much as we can, we want to make sure that we are setting realistic expectations. And this means that a typical conversion for any given launch, I've seen some higher, but a typical conversion for any given launch is usually anywhere from 2 to 5%, meaning that only 2 to 5% of your audience will buy whatever it is that you're selling. So if you have an audience of 200 people, let's say, and what do I mean when I'm talking about audience? I'm usually talking about your email list plus your social media presence. Of course, some people who are on your email list are going to follow you on Instagram and vice versa. But I'm talking about, when I say audience, I'm talking about that combined social media presence with all the channels plus your email list. So if you have an email list or an audience of about 200 people, based on typical conversion rates, you can expect about 4 to 10 people to realistically buy whatever it is that you're selling. And this is where you can kind of backwards engineer your launch, right? Because if your email list is only 200 people and you are selling a product that's $197 or a course that's $197, and you're hoping to have a $25,000 launch, well, the math's not going to math, right? Where it is right now. So we have to think of other ways, like growing your email list and community, to broaden your audience, in addition to tacking on things to your product, like upsells, downsells, tripwires, other things that can increase your revenue. But I think that'll end up being an episode for another time. But keeping your mindset right and getting your mindset right, as well as setting expectations that are realistic for where your audience is right now, are going to be super important in, and those things are going to go hand in hand, right? Because if you set unrealistic expectations and you don't hit your launch goals, that is going to affect your mindset. So that's where we need to start before we even start doing my personal favorite part, all of the launch planning and the actual execution. So after we've worked on our mindset and set our realistic goals based on our actual current audience size, we want to make sure that we keep things super organized, because that is also going to help you to skip the launch overwhelm. Launch tech does not have to be complicated. Even if you're launching a course, even if you're launching a membership, you don't need a whole lot of bells and whistles to start. In fact, I would recommend for your first launch, just so you don't burn yourself out right away, you can start with something really, really simple. Don't need multiple webinars. You don't need a huge professionally designed sales page, because if your messaging is correct to your audience, it doesn't necessarily matter how beautiful and fancy and well-designed your sales page is. I mean, of course that helps, but these are some things to not stress about right off the bat. And then you can make improvements later on as you go and as you relaunch and try things again. So the tech does not have to be complicated. You'll need a couple tech automations, like things like onboarding emails and purchase confirmation emails when people buy. And you might need to know a couple things about segmenting your list, like excluding people that have already purchased. But really, like I mentioned, you don't need webinar software like Easy Webinar or Demio or anything right away. You can use something like Zoom or even Google Meet if you want to keep it free. So you're not overwhelming yourself with all of the tech pieces the very first time that you're launching. And as you move on and try again and relaunch your product, you can always add different pieces once you have the foundational pieces down. The next thing that you want to make sure that you're doing is actually picking a launch date that you want to get your product or your program or your membership live, and work backwards from those, from that date. I would not recommend working forward, so to speak, just saying like, oh, I'll start working on it now and we'll see when I get it all done. I would definitely plan backwards. I know that some of us listening are teachers or former teachers, and the same concept, right, applies to launch planning that comes from lesson planning, which is why I think it's one of the things that in the service provider world I've latched onto, because I used to teach AP courses. So I would plan backwards from that AP test date. And that'll do a couple things, like make sure you're hitting milestones, make sure that you're keeping yourself accountable. And it's really important also, I think, that you keep everything in one place. I, of course, recommend a project management tool. I also, for launches, like to have something that I call my launch library, where I keep all of my important links, data for each launch, and then I just duplicate it for any time myself or my client relaunches a product or a course or a membership in the future. And that is something that's included. You can look at it separately. It's also something that's included with the group program that I run several times a year, Create a Workshop That Converts. But keeping yourself really organized and the tech simple, at least to start, is going to be the second thing that really makes sure that you're not overwhelmed when we're talking about launching. And the third tip that I have for you today is planning your content, making sure that you plan your content ahead to get optimal results for your launch period. So I recently, a couple weeks ago, had a debrief with a former launch strategy session person, and she wanted to talk a little bit about the results from her first launch. And once we got on the call, and I asked her some questions, she mentioned that in the period that she ended up launching, she deviated a little bit from the launch plan that we set up together. But she mentioned that she had only sent 2 emails the entire week to her list. She did not go on social media at all. She didn't have any static posts in her feed. She just kind of sent those 2 emails to her pretty small email list. It's about 300 people, and was disappointed that only 4 people had purchased the course. When actually, that's not really that bad if we're looking at pure numbers and lovingly the amount of effort that she put into it. Because when we're only sending 2 emails, which did have pretty good open rates, but still not everyone's opening those emails. People are busy. I think one was over a weekend, so people might not have checked till it was the launch had closed. We need to make sure that we are actually talking about our offer, because the online space is noisy, and oftentimes people, marketing experts, which I'm not one of those, but will say that people need to see things anywhere between 7 to 12 times to remember about your product and also make a decision about it. So you've got to talk about your offer. Now we can look into planning content that is, of course, designed to help your audience more easily make the decision. And I'm going to talk about this from the lens of social media, like it's an Instagram post, but I don't want you to get boxed in to thinking this has to all be on Instagram or Facebook and your Facebook group if you are not into social media. You can take these concepts, and if you have a podcast, you can apply this to podcasts. You can apply these sorts of general categories to emails or blogs or anything like that. But when we talk about our pre-launch runway, there's a very strategic way that you need to start making sure your audience is warmed up. Brandon and I talk about this, I think, in episode 7. It's the one that's all about, like, what is a pre-launch and why do you need it? And I'm going to go into a little bit more detail than I did last episode or that episode about exactly what kind of content is really going to help convert your audience. So you want to make sure that you have informational and educational posts. And these sort of posts or content, I should say, is going to come first because people need to know a little bit more about not only what their problem is, and they might or might not already know that, but they also need to know why it matters and why it is important to solving their problem. So really, in your audience, you have two different sort of subsets. You have people who know they have a problem and know how to solve it, but they're just not sure how to bridge that gap and actually solve their problem, like growing their email list, right? Maybe people are not having the sales that they want. They know that their email list is probably too small to get, or their audience probably too small to get a $25,000 launch. And they know that this answer lies in growing their email list and getting more eyes, but they're not sure how to grow their email list. Those are people who are problem aware. Then, of course, we also have people who might not know what their problem is. So maybe this person wants to launch a course. Some people know that the solution to having a successful course launch is making sure you test your course idea with your audience and do market research, perhaps have a live workshop or a free workshop to sort of test the audience and see if people are signing up. Those people are problem aware. Then we have people who are not problem aware, problem unaware, I guess you would call them. And these are people who don't necessarily know what their problem is. They don't know, for example, it's important to test their idea. And this is where you have to identify what your audience's problem is, inform them, of course, of what their problem is if they're not sure what they're trying to solve, and then also take it a step further and show them why it is so important to solve their problem and all of the positive results that they will get when their problem is solved. So in order to create content like this, and this is content like, again, it could be for blogs, podcasts, social media, whatever you usually promote your content on, emails. In order to get content like this, here are some questions that you can ask yourself to generate some ideas. So think about, what type of questions do you often get in the DMs, in your inbox? What are the type of questions that people are asking you? And then also think about your A to B method, so to speak, for solving your audience's problem. Like, how does whatever your product, your membership, your course, how does it solve the problem? And really break it down step by step. And what tips and tricks can you pull out from there to talk to your audience about and make sure that they are very much problem aware? So these are going to be things like how-to posts, top tips that they can use, action steps. And then we also want to make sure you're going to take it a step further and speak to the benefit that they're going to have when their problem is solved. So the objective with all of this content in this sort of phase of the information and educational content is to make sure that your expertise is established and that you're really engaging with your audience, your community. They're engaging with your content and your audience is growing during this time. The second phase of content is all about being inspirational, storytelling. This is where you want to kind of take it up a notch and showing them what's possible. So this type of content is going to be things like behind the scenes, day in the life, background stories all about like why you got started, testimonials from people who purchased your product or testimonials from people who went through your course. Ways to get this content would be, some ideas would be to just sit back and reflect for a little bit and brainstorm any client results you've had that you can tell and pass on. Write down your whole story from beginning to how you got to where you are, and you can pull little pieces and tidbits out of that from your actual origin story in business. Those can be super powerful as well. And also think about what specifically inspired you to create the product, the program, the course that you are selling, because all of that is going to lend itself very well to the type of background stories, behind the scenes, day in the life kind of content that is going to really help you feel connected to your audience and take the expertise a little bit further. Finally, the last bit of content that you want to make sure that you are providing to your audience when we are getting closer to the actual launch period is the actual like invitation and conversion part. So you're actually inviting them to join the transformation of whatever it is, whatever problem that you are trying to solve. So this type of content is actual like direct sort of sale content, requesting people to join you in your program, join you in your free training, join you in your free challenge. Yes, you have to actually explicitly have a call to action where you are inviting people to join you. You have to specifically ask them. You also want to continue to show the types of transformation that your product, course, free training will provide. And this is where you can also start creating some content that might speak to common objections and sort of things that are coming up that you might notice people say if you are engaging with them about why they're not buying. Okay, so not only do we want to speak to objections, but we also want to speak to what might happen if they don't solve their problem. For example, if a person who is trying to launch their course or their membership or even a larger product is not testing their offer, they might feel like they don't have to test it. They might think they already know their audience, but I could go into all sorts of things that I've seen happen when clients don't test their offer and sort of validate that. They might waste time, of course, and money, not only on things like Facebook ads, but things like team members. Their audience might get a bit smaller because they might have a large amount of unsubscribes if people aren't interested in what they're selling. And then, of course, your feelings are probably definitely going to be hurt. It's going to hurt your mindset if you've put all of this time into launching a course or a membership, for example, and it is not well received by your audience. So ways we can get this last piece of content, this invite and conversion, this sort of direct sale type of content, is make sure that we're brainstorming all sorts of positive associations and results that they're going to experience after they join your program, buy your product. You can also, if we're talking about a course or a piece of a membership that has a lot of different bonuses, break down each module or part or even piece of an offer or a product if it's a larger one, and think about what other sorts of like little micro problems are going to be solved in addition to the larger problem that your course or product is solving. And then also make sure that you're able to tell a story about one time maybe that you helped somebody to overcome their objection. If you can get really specific testimonials that address the most common objections of time. So if somebody is talking about how much time your product course membership saved them, or if people are commenting on things like, wow, the first module was worth the whole price of the course alone. Those are very, very powerful testimonials, because usually the two most common objections that we see in any space, really, in the marketing space are time and money. So if you can have a story or actual testimonials about people who are saying that this was worth the time or save them time and or worth the money or save them money, those are going to be huge, huge wins. So as we wrap up, the big thing I want you to remember is that there is no failure when it comes to launching any new offer. There are only learning experiences. Focusing on your mindset, keeping yourself organized, and planning strategic content ahead of time are great ways to ease your launch overwhelm. Have a course idea you want to test? My favorite way to test a course idea is an online workshop. My group program, Create a Workshop That Converts, is kicking off this week. Head to the show notes to get more information about joining. If this episode was helpful, be sure to share it with a friend. Word of mouth is one of the best ways to get this show in front of more online entrepreneurs. Until next time. Thanks so much for stopping by to hang out with me today. If you want to learn more about how we can work together on a launch strategy or grab a freebie or one of the resources I mentioned, head over to duxburydigital.co/resources. I'll be back here next Tuesday for more practical strategies to take your business from chaos to conversions.